Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your provision. Thank you for everything you provide for each one of us today. Father, I pray that we will know your presence. Father, you promise that where two of us meet, you will be present. Father, I pray that you will be living amongst everyone in this congregation today. Father, I pray that your spirit be working in people's hearts and their minds to open them, to hear more of you, to hear a prompting. Father, I pray that your message will be heard through me. In Jesus' name, amen. So today brings to get to the end a short series on mission-shaped grace. We've been following a book by John McGinley. And so far we've covered four practices to share our faith to those that are not yet Christians. The final practice today that we're looking at is eating together and sharing our lives over meals. It's quite a beautiful feast here, and eating is an essential part of living. We all have to eat, and I think the majority of people look forward to the opportunity to share a meal with others. If we think of Christmas Day, birthday parties, Sunday lunch, meal at a pub, barbecue, a picnic in the park, cream tea in the afternoon, and one of our favourites as a family, a cooked breakfast. Did anybody have a cooked breakfast this morning? No, it's too hot for cooked breakfasts. When we eat with others, as a couple, as a family, with friends, neighbours or work colleagues, there's always an opportunity for a conversation and there's always something you learn new. Eating together was clearly important to Jesus. Eating is mentioned regularly. He often chose to eat with those that judged by the world to be the wrong kind of people, which shows to me that it was central to his mission. We can think of so many Bible stories involving food. The wedding, where Jesus turned the water to wine, and where he started his ministry. Feeding the 5,000. Dining with tax collectors. The Last Supper. And even after his resurrection, when he came back, he was cooking fish at the side of the lake with his disciples. And he regularly used food and the sharing of food in parables. His meals were images of the kingdom, where the outcasts from society, like tax collectors, prostitutes, and sinners, dined with Jesus, and no one was judged. His table was and is a place open to all to come as you are, where you'll find yourself sitting next to someone that you didn't expect to, that society would frown on or probably not approve. His meals combined the celebration of eating together with the power of transformation. And he asked us to remember him through the sharing of a meal, which we'll do shortly. So why is eating so special? And particularly sharing a meal. My own experience is that when we sit for a meal, we slow down. It's a time to enjoy. There's generally not an agenda to the conversation. And that whether we have known each other for a long time or just met, we create a shared moment in our lives. And we learn something more about each other through which our relationship grows and deepens. For many in society today, young or old, loneliness is a real challenge. And sharing meals, extending an opportunity for those people who are alone, is a brilliant way of creating companionship and relationship. It's a symbol of love. I'll give you an example at work. So with my colleagues, we have lunch once a week, and occasionally we go for dinner. It builds a much stronger team, as we tend to share more about what's going on in our lives and not just talking about what's happening at work. They all know I go to church. They know I'm a Christian. And I share events like going on holidays to New Wine, leading Bible studies, and the fact that I've been a church warden, which often provoke questions. On one occasion at dinner, in a light-hearted way, the conversation turned to getting old and death. And do people really believe in life after death? Knowing my faith, one of the team one of my colleagues, felt the conversation might be making me feel uncomfortable knowing my views, and said, "Do we want to change the subject?" So I said it was fine, and I then gave my view. I went on to share my testimony with my colleagues, which provoked several more questions, and in turn, each person then talked about what they felt about their spirituality. I had not seen this moment coming, but it was a beautiful opportunity provided by the Holy Spirit, which I'm absolutely certain happens because of the relationship that I've built with them over the years I've been working with them. So we're just going to watch now a short video, which I think brings to life the power of eating. That's a commercial, but I thought it really brought to life the power of reaching out and sharing a meal and what it can do in society. So next slide, we're going to now think about how do we practically do this. So I'm going to refer back to the chapter in Luke that we read, Luke 10, 1 to 11, which gives three ingredients, and you'll excuse the pun that I've used the word ingredients, but I thought that was appropriate since we're talking about food. First off, it's teamwork. So in Luke 10:1, it says, "After the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go." So you don't have to do this alone. Jesus instructed the disciples to go in pairs, to do mission together. This is really good news. It's really hard work doing things by ourselves. God made us to be in community with him, but also with others, with other Christians. And in doing so, and doing these things together, we also model the command that he gave to us in his last conversation with us, to share and love each other. So the first step is to think about, who could I work with? Who could I make this a reality? This could be as a couple, a group of Christian men, women, house group members. Or maybe a colleague at work who also shares your faith, or wherever. The second is the task. In Luke 10:2, he told them that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. So we are the workers. Every single one of us is a worker. And Jesus says the harvest is plenty, referring to the number of people who don't yet know Jesus. So there are likely to be an overwhelming number of possibilities of people you could share a meal with. But first start to think about people who are known to you. Where there is some relationship already, who, as the reading described, as a person of peace, who are likely to be receptive to learning about Jesus. You'll know who these are. The task starts with sharing our lives through eating together, because it relaxes the conversation. It allows us to have that unstructured understanding. But the mission over time is to help someone to know Jesus. In our other reading from Matthew, we read of the first moment where Matthew meets Jesus. And he made the decision there and then to follow him. He's clearly so excited about meeting Jesus that the first thing it talks about straight away is him having a meal with Jesus and inviting his fellow tax collectors to come and meet this man that he's met. Matthew is overwhelmed by the good news of meeting Jesus, that he wants to share this news as fast as he possibly can and to invite those that he knows. So he's inviting people because they're known to him. He wants to share Jesus. And it is also not custom for a man of his taking to have somebody of God spend time with him. And the third is it takes time. In Luke 10:7, it says, "Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give. For the workers deserve his wages. Do not move around from house to house." So Jesus is telling the disciples not to move on from house. So this says it's not a one-off meal. It's not something that's just a one-off event. It's about sharing life over a period of time where a trusting relationship builds and opportunities to share faith grow. And as in this passage, they move from eating together to praying, to healing, and to bringing people to a full relationship with Christ. Another example from my life is when we first arrived at this church, neither Charlotte or I were Christians, nor did we know anyone in this church. And Kenneth and Edith Moore, who some of you will remember, had children similar age to ours, invited us back to lunch. We didn't know them at all. So this is quite a brave move, inviting two people that you don't know to your house. And they invited us to home for a few times. And it was a great way to build connections into this church and to know something about people in the church. Kenneth then invited me to be part of his men's group he was setting up, which I did because I knew him, because I already had a relationship with him. He was somebody that I felt I could trust. Now, whilst at the time I did not reckon these as important steps, but these were important steps in my journey to Christ. So here is the case is that this might be a long run of sharing meals and thinking about it, but you don't know the impact you might have over time. Next one. So we're ready. We've got our ingredients: time, task, and team. What else? Pray. Praying into the occasion, the most critical part is that the Holy Spirit is present at the meal, at the time you spend together. The quantity, the quality, whilst nice, is not the most important feature. A simple meal will suffice. The important thing is that the Lord is present at the table. When you invite God, he will do the transformation. We are merely vessels that, if we're open to his Spirit, he will create the opportunities for us to share more of him. And practice. Start in a way that feels comfortable with the people you know, but don't know Jesus. You may already have a regular gathering with family, friends, neighbors, clubs, colleagues at work, but have you ever thought about it as mission? Have you ever prayed the Holy Spirit to come and join the gathering? To be seated at the table when you go out with colleagues at work? To be in the kitchen when you're preparing for a family gathering with people who don't know Christ? At the restaurant where you're meeting for a birthday party? Have you ever thought about how you share your life? How you give opportunities? How you give those hooks that people can then ask you more questions about when you come to share a meal with them? We were created to be in relationship with Jesus and with others. During the Last Supper, Jesus said to his disciples to love one another. Eating together is a great symbol of this, and when we extend this to those who do not know Jesus, it's a demonstration of loving our neighbor and sharing the good news. So, we're going to have a short time for you to do some work now rather than me talking. So I've got two questions I'd like you to think about, either individually, but remember, doing this by yourself is hard, or with your neighbour. Can you think of an opportunity you already have where you could think differently about the times you eat together with family, friends, colleagues, ... Or where you can see an opportunity to start sharing a meal to build new relationships with people who don't yet know Christ? I'm going to give you about 5 minutes to do this. It's good to hear so much conversation. You can carry on the conversation after the service with tea, coffee. I need a teacher to do this, don't I, really? As gradually they say, it's a teacher. All eyes back on me. Come back. So, I am looking forward to being invited to lots of banquets now. or to hearing, actually, about your stories. George and I were just talking about our own experiences on how this works and how often we don't think about times with people who don't know Jesus as always times that are opportunities, particularly family. Most of my family are not Christians, but it's made me think actually about the number of times I spend time with them, but actually don't pray into every time we meet with them that it might be an opportunity. So we're coming soon to communion. Jesus asks to remember him in sharing a meal together and showing our love for him and for each other. I suggest as we do this today, let's pray that the Holy Spirit guides us and shows us where we might share more with those we already know, but even more, be bolder with all the ministry practices we've talked about over the last period to share more of what we know of Christ. That moment when we first came to a realization of our Saviour, remember that in your mind and think about how exciting it was and how exciting that would be if you brought somebody else to know the living God that we worship. Amen. George.
Okay, thank you very much, David, for that.